And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hook up. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. We have a great guest for you. Fresh off the water, Captain Aaron Barnhill. Aaron is a commercial albacore fisherman. He's a commercial bluefin fisherman. And, of course, a legendary sport captain running long-range trips for many, many years. We're going to have a great show. Stay tuned. Southern California Sport Fishing Voice is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
It's Selathon, and it's back at your San Diego County Ford dealers this Memorial Day for 5 days only. Get limited time deals on top of employee pricing. That's right, on top of employee pricing featuring Ford's award-winning lineup of trucks and SUVs. Plus, your San Diego County Ford dealers are honoring all military, veterans, and first responders with offers going on now. It's your chance to save, whether it's gas, hybrid, or all electric. Visit your local dealership to find the perfect vehicle for you during Ford's Memorial Day Selathon. It's only for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
Hey, it's time for the 30-second Power Pro Seminar. Here's a hot tip for those of us that like to fish with small reels or big fish. Fill your spools with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro. That means you're going to get more line on that small reel. Plus, you can fly line your bait more effectively. Here's another tip about Power Pro Max Quattro. Your casting distance will increase in addition to increasing your spool capacity. So downsize your tackle and use Power Pro Max Quattro. Check powerpro.com for more information.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a fun day today is going to be, man.
Yeah, it is.
Good having Aaron in here, but wearing a few different hats than the last time he was in here.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you. Of course, you've been running commercial boats for how long?
Since 2016.
So yeah. That's when you came off the Shogun?
Yep.
Yeah. And do you miss it?
Yeah, I miss some aspects of it for sure. Yeah, I love the freedom of commercial fishing. No timelines or anything like that. Just go out and fish till you catch them.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And you finished catching them, right? You just finished bluefin fishing.
We did. We finished 3 weeks ago or so, finished the quota for bluefin, so we're all done for the year.
Wow.
So plenty of fish still out there.
Plenty. And okay, so you said there's more this year. You've seen more this year than last year.
Yes, especially especially that 40 to 80 pound fish. There's just an amazing amount of that fish around this year, which is obviously great for the future.
I like
big
that
fish.
Size.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's good.
And we didn't touch any of that fish. All of our fish are 50 to 60 kilo and bigger. So we don't catch any fish under 100 pounds.
No kidding. You don't touch that.
We don't touch any of those large fish.
Yeah. Why is that?
Basically, you have to feed them less to get them up to size and sell them. So.
And what's the goal when you guys, okay, you're catching for the bluefin tuna pens like we see out at the Coronado Islands.
Yes.
Right? And are they still in Ensenada too? Or?
There is some pens in Ensenada. All of ours for our company are at South Coronado Island.
At South Coronado. Yeah. I was over there the other day. There's a lot of them over there.
We got a nice stock.
There is a lot. There are a lot of boats
feeding those things too. You got to, it's a huge support system.
It is. Yeah. There's divers and maintenance guys and, you know, biologists out there all the time. And yeah, it's a big operation.
So all that fish in there starts at 100 pounds plus.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And how do you guys, how can you tell what that is? You know what I mean? Like you, I'm sure you have various ways of finding your fish. Like how do you know ahead of time, like, okay, this is 40 pounds and this is 100 pounds?
Basically the guy in the chopper.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of times we'll find a school in the sonar, but we won't set until we can visually see that the fish are. And, you know, like this year we had three sets that was fish under 100 pounds, and we have a easy way to release them that doesn't damage the fish or anything like that. We open up the net. And
really? So you can, this one, okay, this is borderline. We're going to go for it, put the net around them, get them up, and then get it side by side. We're like, okay, this isn't what we're after.
Yeah, we have the divers go in the water and check. And
really?
Yeah, sometimes you'll see a school and it looks like some bigger shiners in there, and you're like, all right, well, let's go for it. And then, you know, when the net comes up, you're, we got to let them go. But that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Part of fishing.
Yep.
So is there ever a time where you catch rapid school that's too big?
No, luckily our nets are able to, like, one of the sets this year was, you know, over 600 tons. So we
but I mean the fish being
the fish big. No, the fish will keep bigger fish for sure. It's just we like that, you know, mid 100 size fish just because of shipping, you know. Once they get like well over 200 pounds, they get so round, you know, like a box that could take three smaller fish and only fit one. So that's why we like that size fish.
And all this fish goes over to Japan?
No, actually 75% of the fish now is sold here in the U.S. and Mexico.
No,
really?
Kidding.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Wow. Yeah. As whole fish.
As whole
as
fish.
As fresh.
As young gut fish. Yeah.
Interesting. And goes to various sushi markets and various fresh markets?
Exactly. Yeah.
75%.
Yeah. We've kind of switched over from that. You know, obviously less shipping costs than going over to Japan.
Sure.
And stuff like that. So,
yeah.
We still do have one market over there. And, we're trying to expand, you know, and go where else. But obviously it's been better for us, you know, just shipping right to the U.S. and Mexico.
Cool. Yeah. Ted Dunn, who used to do what you did, and he's retired now and kind of your mentor, right? Set me up to go visit Toyosu Fish Market in Tokyo with his guy over there, his buyer. And that was one of the great experiences of my life, to sit there with the boots on, my wife and I, walking the Toyosu, watching the market and how it goes on and stuff like that. They eat a lot of fish over there.
They do.
Yeah. So if they're not getting it as much from you guys, where are they getting theirs now?
I'm not sure. They do have a fishery over there. You know, they actually have way more quota over on that side than we do over here. So they're fishing that. A lot of Southeast Asian countries fish it as well. So they're probably getting it from over there.
But still, 25% of your take is a lot of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fish for sure. So now you switch gears and go albacore fishing.
Yeah. We're going to be leaving here in about a month or so. So just doing maintenance on the boats right now. And we leave here and go make some bait, probably in Ventura or Santa Cruz, and just go start looking.
Wow.
Where we find them.
When is like departure time? Like, when will that start for you guys?
We try and aim to leave right after Father's Day.
Okay.
Sometime between there and the 4th of July. Yeah. So just stay on the water. It's a little cooler water year this year. So, you know, we're not in that big of a rush, but.
In the like prospects from the guys that already start up that way, is going to be look. Like,
we haven't heard anything.
What's the group chat feel like these days?
Usually got a little, you know, there is a body of albacore that hangs out west of here. Most of the year, the longliners get something like that. I haven't really heard anything lately, but so we do get fish that comes all the way across, you know, the Pacific, but there is, you know, population of albacore that's hanging out west. We're just hoping one of these years pokes its nose back in here. We can kind of unload in Pedro and be closer to home.
Is this the year?
I sure hope so.
And do you know about Pete and his albacore predictions?
No.
We just predict it every year.
Yeah.
So it happens sometime,
there
right?
You
at
go.
Some point.
You're going to be right eventually.
So what's that going to take?
We call it the Tommy Roffrey method.
Yeah.
Where Pete predicts them. You know, everybody's quit.
That's
you know,
what nobody, Tommy was originally.
Yeah, nobody in their right mind says, oh, yeah, this is the year for albacore again, except for Pete. He's the last man standing. So when it happens, he'll be the one that was
there. Hey, I told you.
Yeah.
For the last 40 years,
right?
What is it going to take for us to see albacore?
You know, we've had decent conditions, especially on the Central Coast. You know, when we're driving back down, there's just acres of anchovies and birds and everything. It's just whatever current. You know, they're kind of taking the outside route going up and usually coming in around Mendocino Ridge.
Uh-huh.
You know, so just getting that right current to push in here. There's really good push of water right now outside Channel Islands, you know, which is like it goes southwest out to where they're at. And I mean, maybe this is the year they're going to follow that water in. But for whatever reason, they've been out like in the 130 longitudes.
How far off the beach is that?
That's probably from here about 400 miles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so then they've just been, you know, going north on those longitudes and then cutting in once they get higher up. So.
But if there's this water push,
yeah, it could
they
be
just
there.
Follow the water temperature. Is that what it is?
Yeah, usually, like if you look at those NOAA sea surface charts, the first wave of albacore is usually on the 15 Celsius line.
Hmm.
So, and they'll be hanging on that, which right now out in the 130s is about conception latitude, I think. So,
wow.
Usually hang on that, and then every Celsius line we get another wave of fish. But that first wave of fish is like that fish that goes up into Canada. It likes that cooler water, so we'll stay with that.
Wow, pretty well. What do you like fishing better? Bluefin or albacore?
That's a tough choice. I'd say albacore is probably less stressful, you know,
and
a little more fun. You know, hanging out with your buddies, talking on the radio, and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, bluefin's super exciting, and I love just the hunt to, you know, try and find those fish.
Yeah. And you're driving the boat, right?
Yeah, well, there's three of us fishing. There's two fishing captains, myself and the guy in the chopper, and then there's, like, the actual licensed captain on there, you know? So we're all kind of driving around or whatever, but,
yeah. And so the chopper finds – so when you're hunting bluefin, the chopper finds the school first?
Well, we have spotter plane, too. Sometimes find it.
Tom Green and Adrian.
Tom's retired, so it's Adrian now. And then a lot of times it's, you know, we'll find a school on the sonar. You know, we just pull out of gear and wait and then get the chopper over and take a look. Or, you know, help get the chopper in the air and kind of work the school until we can see what size it is and how much fish is there and all that.
Wow. So. And then what?
And then we got to get lined up. That's the hard part is you have to get lined, you know, you have to be going the same direction as the fish. You have to stay away from it. If you get too close to the fish and let the skiff over, it'll turn and you'll miss it. There's a lot of variables there. Even though we have a big net and everything, we miss quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah. We were like probably 60%.
Okay.
Yeah, this year. You know, other years were 80 or 90%, but we sort of the fish get smarter every year.
Is it possible to do without like the aerial part of it? You know what I mean? Like,
it is possible to do. You know, just with sonar and stuff like that. But I mean, it's a lot more.
So many variables.
Yeah, and a lot more efficient. You know, on the sonar, it takes you a minute to see if the fish change directions. Whereas the guy in the chopper can see it instantly when those heads and tails turn, and you're like, and then you can adjust course from there.
Cool. And how big is the net? That
The cork line is 1,900 meters long.
Yeah. 1,900 meters.
Yeah.
Whew. That's a big net.
That's a big net.
That's a lot of fish.
Yeah. It'll stretch out. It'll touch bottom in like 120 fathoms. But we cut the net, you know, when we set. So it's the rings are about 95 fathoms. You have like net sensors on there. About 95 fathoms is how deep the bottom of the net is.
Wow. Wow. So you have these fish in the net now.
Mm-hmm.
Determine that these are fish you want to keep. Mm-hmm. Then what happens?
Then we have a pen come over. So we have collapsible pens so they can travel faster. Then they put the net inside the pen, get it ready, and then we have a door on our net on the bow section and a door on the pen. So we kind of mesh them together, tie them together, and then we start sacking up the net. You know, and eventually with the divers in the water, they get the fish to cross into the pen. So
your net's pulled up into a purse and you start pushing them into the pen.
Exactly. We square the net off. You know, we have small skiffs. We square it off, get it all right, you know, mesh the pen up against it. And then we start rolling that and get that, you know, that area where that fish is tighter and tighter and tighter. And eventually they'll square it into the pen.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing operation.
It is.
Versus when you're fishing albacore, you're just lining, right? It's just lining.
Yeah.
Hook and line.
Yep, we're jigging in the beginning, you know, so like June, July, into August, we'll be, you know, jigging, just trolling, you know, normal zookers and everything you'd use.
That's still so crazy.
Yeah, and then once that, you know, up there, the offshore anchovy is just in larval stage, you know, early on in the season. And so and sometime in August, it gets color and it starts to form bait balls. And so that's when we'll switch over to actual bait fishing with the poles and stuff like that.
What's the better production when they're on the poles? Or
oh,
the
for 100%. Yeah.
Just 100%. You can get on them and just start raining them aboard.
Exactly. Yeah.
It still blows me away that fishery is so caught one fish at a time, and you know, especially you getting to participate on both sides of it. It's just crazy to think that all of that albacore is still caught that way.
It is, yeah. And yeah, one by one, no bycatch. Totally clean fishery.
Average size is?
I'd say about 14 pounds. Okay. Over the course of the season.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good size for what you want.
Yeah, it's good. You start getting those big ones over 20 pounds, you tear too many off. They got, you know, albacore real soft mouths.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, like 14 to 12 to 17 pounds is what we'd like at that fish. So.
How do you guys keep the fish? You know, I mean, again, you've seen all aspects, you know, grow up putting fish in a gunny sack and then spray grinds and blast free and all these things and into now, you know, with bluefin fishing, keeping the water. Like, you've seen all parts of it. How do you guys keep the albacore?
We have one, our main fish hold hatch is 15 tons. That's just spray brine. And then all of our wells are RSW. So we keep the fish in there until we fill the well 32 degrees, just like you would. Normally, like on a sport boat. But once we get a full pump down, add salt, and then freeze them that way. That way, they're, you know, nice and round and in a flooded brine solution.
Got it.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. So, pretty diverse, the two different types of fishing that you're doing. Must keep life interesting then.
Yeah. No, it does. Yeah.
Now, you actually own the albacore boats, right? That's your operation.
Yes.
And you're actually employed by...
I'm just an employee down in Mexico.
In Mexico.
Yeah, for Baja Aqua Farms.
But that's the company that owns it.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And is that... That's a Mexican corporation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how big is that business? How many boats? How many people, employees, and stuff like that? That's big, right?
We have a lot of employees. Over 100 employees. We have two boats. You know, sanders that we own, tuna sanders, and then I think it's up to 5 sardine sanders now. So we actually bought some king crab boats, like the Marcos, the same ones that the Northwestern is.
Really?
I'm converting those to sanders. So it seems like, you know, with this colder water, the stock of sardines is sliding south, you know, as it is. So we wanted some a little bit bigger boats to make that trip worth it, you know, going down where we need to go catch. So
trip. And those boats, you know, by design are meant to have big giant wells and a lot of water on board.
So
they convert into something that'll keep bait alive just fine.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah. So actually RSW are those sardines. So yeah. So they're, you know, they're dead, and then
I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't need to put a hook into it.
No. So RSW and bring them back at 32 degrees, and then they either pump them off to a storage ship or they just go right into the pens.
Wow, that's cool.
Weird.
It's cool.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, I've been to Coronado and seen them feed them. They're just like taking a big manure shovel and just shoveling that stuff in.
Yeah, they're actually pumping now.
Oh, they're pumping.
Yeah. So they, you know, just add some more seawater into the well and they just pump it out. Some kind of pump that you pump it on. So then they have hoses that go to each one. So they've tried different methods, but
it's dead bait that they're feeding on, because you don't want them to work.
Yeah.
Right.
You just want them to. Yeah, you don't want to
think about that either. Yeah, you don't want them chasing it down.
Yeah, you don't want to get a keyed on anything live either, because that'll push. You just want them eating dead bait.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they do it fine.
Yeah, they do it fine. So they don't eat for about 2 to 3 weeks after we catch them, but then once they get hungry enough, they start eating that dead bait, and they just, that's what they like then.
So is it just that they're so freaked out they don't want to eat for a couple
of weeks? I'm not sure. I mean, you watch them in the net, and they're just chill. Even after a couple hours, they just go into the routine and they're fine. I don't know. It's probably the stress on them or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, they don't eat for a couple of weeks, and then once they get hungry, then
all of a sudden.
Yep.
Bring it.
Yep, exactly.
And how much do they feed?
For weight wise, about 8% of what's in the pen, they feed that, you know, per day. Yeah.
So how many ton in the pen?
About 100.
100 ton in each pen?
Yep.
Wow. That's a lot of sardines.
That's a lot of sardines.
Yeah. Do you feed chovy too, or just
larger chovy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now, there's so much anchovy around. It's mind boggling, really. So we've been feeding them that larger. It's got to be that bigger anchovy. The smaller ones doesn't have much fat in it or anything like that. So.
Great. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for today. Lots to talk about with Captain Aaron Barnhill.
Yeah, and as you could imagine, boy, the texts have already been flowing through since before the show. The phones are packed up. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Having a great bud in the studio this morning. If you want to join us, man, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Jeff is standing by at the fan, 833-288-0973 is how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup. Again, 833 888-288-0973 or send us a text. The text the show has become so popular here on Let's Talk Hookup, and the only way to do that is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download. It's the easiest way to send in your questions to Captain Aaron this morning, or if you want to listen to all the archive shows, all the past information, it's all available via the Let's Talk Hookup app. When you do send in your text, make sure you include your contact info. Just a name and a phone number is all we need, because if you win the big prize at the end of the show, we want to make sure to get it to you. And, man, are we giving away a cool prize for one lucky caller or texter at the end of the show. Somebody's going to get a brand new pair of Costa sunglasses. This time it's the Reefton Pro with that gray silver mirror lens. Yeah, a great, great pair. 580 glass. Just awesome. Beautiful. Awesome pair of shades from Costa.
On Facebook or YouTube. It's a very popular one.
One of our most at the shop for sure. And yeah, again, if you want to get your shot, 833-288-0973 is how you get us on the phones, or send us a text via Let's Talk Hookup app. And when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls, reading those texts. We got great catch reports coming up and a whole lot more. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Hideaway Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris, invites you to experience the magic of the Haida-Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, I'm Valerie Hopebridge. 25 years ago, I fell in love with these incredible islands, the breathtaking scenery, the warm community, and the truly phenomenal fishing. That passion inspired me to open my own fishing lodge, just steps from the Sandspit Harbor at Haida-Gwaii Safaris. You will be fishing in pristine, unpressured waters for Chinook, King Salmon, Halibut, Lingcod, and much more. Plus, be surrounded by untouched beauty. We pride ourselves on creating an unforgettable venture that turns first-time guests into lifetime friends. You will come for the fishing, and you will come back for the memories. We are booking now. Call us at 1-877-815-2892 or visit our website, qcsafaris.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Haida-Gwaii Safaris, where adventure and friendship meet.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing, in Mission Bay, or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Mapleview and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check out DanaLanding.com for more details.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore, thanks to the Dana Wharf's Kids Club. Dana Wharf's Sport Fishing invites all anglers 12 and under to join the Kids Club today. Membership includes over $100 of really cool stuff, like 2 free fishing trips, whale watch trip, as well as a free Dana Wharf Kids Club hat or t-shirt. Log on to the website, DanaWharf.com, or visit them in Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. How fun was that just right off the bat, man? This is going to be a lot of fun having Aaron here talking fishing and something that's just different. You know, we talk so much about Aaron's previous career, catching him the way we all do now. And I know you still love and do that, but what a cool deal to get to hear about the other side of it. I'm just pumped on today. It'll be a very fun show.
Yeah, for sure. We had a little issue with our app this morning at the start, but all good now. It's back up. YouTube, Facebook Live is good. And, of course, 97.3 The Fan, full speed ahead with that, and great to welcome Kyle aboard on Saturdays too.
Oh, Jeff, my bad, Kyle.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, that's okay. Jeff is taking Saturday's off now. He's going to work Sundays. And Kyle's right. man, the man on Saturday. And welcome, Kyle. Great to have you on the board. So if you're calling our number there, 833-288-0973, Kyle's going to pick up your phone today.
There it is.
And speaking of which, let's jump into the phone.
You got it, man. Well, they are packed solid. Everybody's excited to talk to Aaron. Why don't we start it off this morning with Bob, who's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Aaron, I wonder if you remember, you know, I fished with you on the Royal Polaris.
I don't remember you, Bob. How you doing?
How could forget Bob, right?
Everyone knows Bob. Yeah, Wolfman.
One trip on, I think it was Tackle Days in 2016, we were going to go to Guadalupe, and we went down there, checked in, and you turned the boat. We went up towards the Cortez, and in the morning, you put down your sonar and you shut the boat down, and we started catching tuna from 50 to 120 until dark. And we went up another 20, 30 miles, and next day we started catching some real fish. And I got a 246 on 80-pound test line and on bait it was on a Calica 20. And but anyway, I wonder if you remember that trip.
Oh, absolutely. I was running a relief trip for Renee. And, you know, it was definitely rolling the dice. You know, it was supposed to be a Guadalupe trip, but the weather was nice and conditions were right out there at Cortez. And I was like, let's do it. And it ended up working out really well.
How many sideways looks do you think there were when everybody's like in their mind, okay, this is where we're going and we're going to go to Guadalupe. And that's where they're headed. And then you turned right instead of going straight.
Yeah, exactly. It worked out. It was only like cool. 10 or 15 fish a day at Guadalupe, you know? So I was like, this is the time to do it. And luckily it worked out. So
that sounds like a lot
of
fun.
We actually had a couple big eye that first day. If you remember that, Bob.
Cool. Yeah. Now when you're wrapping bluefin, do you ever see big eye?
No. Nothing. No, we don't. A little bitty elephant. And that's it.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Pretty straight bluefin.
Straight bluefin. You know, obviously we watch the schools. We can't have any porpoise interaction or any whale interaction. Like that's MSC certified fishery. So we have to be very sure that that's what we're putting in the net.
Yeah. So when you're seeing the bluefin, is most of it north of Cedros, or is it all over the place?
This year, we actually, is the first year I've fished below Cedros. So, the year before last, we were west in Natividad for a little bit. This year, we're off Assumption. I had really good fishing, and then that fish just kept sliding. You know, we don't...
Sliding up?
Sliding down. So that fish went all the way down Uncle Sam and on the ridge, and there was a couple of yellowfin seiners, the Thetis, seeing big schools of bluefin, you know, so that fish really went down. There's only like 63-degree water down there, so and lots of bait. So we can't tow. We don't like to tow the fish that far. We don't have to. So we had to wait, and, you know, we finally got on some fish above Cedros. Seems like that 29-116 cross, this is above Cedros, is like our stock zone, and then, go from there. And then, you know, we've had good fishing just straight out of Ensenada the last couple of years as well. Right by the border inside the 60-mile bank. That's been a little hot spot.
That's got to add some extra, I don't know, frustrating is the right word, elements to it. It's like it's not just – you don't have to just make a catch. You know, mm-hmm. you have to find them, and then they have to be the right size, and then you don't want to have to tow too far, and you don't want to tow too close, and it's got to be the right size. You know, like there's a lot of little things that go into it, you know.
For sure. I mean, those days when you're seeing just massive amounts of fish, and it's like, oh, too small. Oh, too small. You know, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's not a matter of where they're here. We put the boat where the fish are, but they're not the right ones.
Exactly.
That's great.
Pretty cool. Well, great text coming. Oh, do you have a good one?
I do. I thought it was a fun one to start with, and it was from Tim from Tarzana. It says, Captain Aaron, how much fun to have you back here on Let's Talk Hookup. My question is, what brings more stress? Having to put 20 long-range fishermen on catching fish, wrapping bluefin, or finding your albacore? My second part of the question is, when's the last time you caught a fish on a rod and reel, and what were you fishing for?
Last fish I caught on a rod and reel, start with that one. I do a lot of freshwater fishing, so up to the Cuyamac and stuff like that. So the last fish I caught was a largemouth bass. And I would say bluefin fishing, it would be more stressful because there's so many moving parts. And you're putting a multi-million dollar net in the water, and it's just a lot of stress, you know, and a lot of money in there, and, you know, expectations are high. But that being said, you know, I always tried my best to get
my bass news on fish, and I did stress a lot about that. Yeah.
What can go wrong when you put the net in the water?
Oh man,
that was a real thought.
That's a real. Yeah, all these hydraulics, you know. So if something goes wrong with the winch and cable's not coming out, or we've had rings jump and catch the net and tore the net from bottom to top before.
No
way. We're fixing it for 48 hours straight. Roll ups, just a lot of different stuff can happen. Yeah. Skip, won't start, stuff like that. So.
And I just didn't think about the moving parts that like Pete was talking about. Like when you say go, like that fish is responsible for the jobs of over 100 people. Like it all trickles down the line, guys that are catching bait and moving skiffs and towing pens and divers and jumpers and flights and helicopters, like all of that depends on the fish that, you say go on.
Yep, exactly. And it's frustrating. That's why we try and get lined up on the fish the best we can and take our time, because once that skiff goes in the water, we have to let it all out and come back around. So we're out of the picture for a couple hours there once that skiff hits the water, whether we catch the fish or not. So.
And then there's huge bruisers off the other side.
Exactly. That's why it's like sometimes we're like, okay, let's just be patient, because we, you see one skull, probably going to be some more. And it's the most frustrating thing when that skiff hits the water and the fish makes a left hand turn. You're like, well, there went a couple hours.
Yeah, and you know it's literally going to be there. It'll be a couple hours before you can even try again.
Exactly.
Wild.
Yeah. That's why albacore fishing, you're fishing all the time, usually seeing something and working. So it's a lot less downtime, I'd say, fishing albacore, more action. So it's fun that way.
Where's the weather worse?
Oh, that's a good question.
The weather off Washington in the summertime is, especially Columbia River, is probably the nicest on the coast.
Really?
So, that's like a little eddy area right there. It's nice. You get down towards Cape Blanco in Oregon. Oh, man, wind tunnel from there down, like San Francisco.
No kidding.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you get above, enough and it becomes
nice. Exactly. So when it's nice weather here on the beach and you guys are having a nice sunny summer, it's just causing that suction all down the California coast. That's why it's a really hard place to fish in California for albacore for us until about September. So as soon as you start getting the low pressures up there off Oregon and Washington, the weather gets nicer down here.
Uh-huh.
Once things start cooling down.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And what about the weather down when you're wrapping bluefin?
It's pretty good. January, for whatever reason, is pretty good weather. February, we took off, and luckily we did because it was terrible weather.
Yeah.
So,
but you're on a big boat, right?
We're on a 225-foot boat.
Yeah.
So,
and how big is the albacore boat?
65 feet.
60, so a little different.
Yeah, a little different. But the thing is, when we fish that bluefin, we have to put those skiffs in the water, so it can't be rough weather. Usually, when it gets to 20 knots, we just call it. If we're going to have a few days of wind, we'll just go anchor up. It's not worth it, the risk of the guy's safety and all that.
Sure.
In the skiffs. So.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump back on the phone.
You got it, man. And packed up they are. We're going to next up talk to John. He's calling us from Escondido this morning. Good morning, John. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. It was nice to see your freshwater fishing trip that you took, Ricky. I got a couple questions though and so I was fortunate enough years ago to go down and fish the pen, and it was pretty cool. It was just you weren't close or anything like that, but it's like your buddies wanted to get in there and so they were just hanging out. Are you still allowed to do that? And if so, how far away do you have to stay? And then on your albacore fishing, I didn't know you when you were on the Royal Flares, but I know that Jonathan Yamati on the Royal Flares, he's got an albacore boat. Are you part of that group?
Yes. Yeah, Johnny's now, he's not albacore fishing. He still has owns, I think, half the boat or something like that. So he's going to be on the Royal Flares this year. But, he was part of our group. I've known Johnny for a long time. He's great, great fisherman, works super hard. It was always a pleasure working with him. And the pens, the pens that were offshore, they usually, especially the other company, did that to kind of acclimate the fish and keep them in nice water. Sometimes if the water on the beach, upwells and it gets like red tide, they'll take the pens offshore. Just to get them into cleaner water. But, they're just like a big fad, big like kelp patty with live fish on it. So, it's worked good. But, just stay, 300 yards away or something like that. The fish are just swimming. They're not exactly on the pen. They're just around in the area like that. And I don't know if there's any pens offshore right now or not, but yeah, that would be, it's always a great place to check for fish. So we even see schools following pens that are getting towed. So, you know, the chopper will always go take a lap around those pens that are getting towed with fish in them to see if a school's hanging out with them.
Really?
Yeah.
And they just kind of, it's almost like a dog
exactly.
Following a dog.
It's like, well, yeah. What's going on here? You know,
yeah.
What
are you guys doing?
Yeah, exactly.
That must be cool going this direction.
Pretty interesting. Yeah.
What is the, what size school is, I mean, I hate to say this, but like worthy of your guys' time? You know, I mean, obviously it's 2 hours and it's a lot of moving parts. Like
yeah.
How much fish is it, you know, become worthwhile for you to put the skiff in the water?
Usually 50 and bigger. And it depends on the day. If we know there's going to be some good schools in the afternoon, we'll pass on some in the morning, you know, and just wait for opportunity. You know, logistically, you know, if we go 20 miles and find a school and set, you know, and it's a smaller school, we have, you know, it's not just the time it takes to put the net in water, but the pens got to get up
sure.
there. So the pens only go 4 knots. So, you know, 5 hours, you know, you got to calculate all that, whether you want to put the net in the water or not.
That's what I keep. It's like every question we ask, you add another 25 moving parts
yeah.
to one set. It's a lot to think about.
It is, yeah.
I'm sure like you're, you know, like you just described, I'm sure holding off has got to be one of the hardest parts, you know, like in your mind, you know, as a fisherman, like, okay, we got to find the fish and we got to catch it. Like, you know, there's just a lot more to it than just that.
Exactly. But
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, let's jump right back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to Todd. Todd's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Todd, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Hey, I got a question for Captain Aaron and a question for Rick and Pete, and it is in regards to drones. I was, last summer off the backside of San Clemente, and I noticed a big yacht had a drone, and I'm assuming he was using it for surveillance to, you know, locate tuna. And so my question for Captain Aaron is, do you guys foresee you guys incorporating drones into your fishing? And Pete, Rick, do you guys ever come across guys using drones for surveillance to locate fish?
So we have looked into that, especially like a glider type drone, you know, to cover, you know, big swaths of area like that. But it's been tough. You know, you have to have someone monitoring the camera all the time. And it's, you know, like the guys in the chopper and like Adrian in the plane, they're fishing up there, you know. So it's like seeing little distinct differences in the water, like a splash or something like that, and then you go check it out. So we kind of haven't been able to really, you know, it's just more difficult, you know, doing it with a drone. So,
like you say, I'm sure the perception of seeing something on a screen is different from a guy that's got 30 years of seeing it with his eyeballs.
100%.
I was fortunate to fly with Tom Green before he retired one day. And that's exactly what he does. He's fishing.
Yeah.
Right?
He's fishing up there.
And he sees stuff that, it's like, where? What?
Yeah.
What? Right?
Isn't it crazy? He'll see something and just turn the plane over. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. it's and you've flown with them, right?
Yep.
I'm sure. It probably gives you some good insight about what you're looking for.
Oh, no, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's a totally different, you know, aspect seeing it from up there. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure just like anything, too, like, you know, you guys, actually you in particular, you know, when somebody reaches that level, you get so good at seeing little, like the little nuances, you know, seeing a breezer in breeze and things like that. Like, I'm sure Tom's got to be the same way. Like, you know, you do that for so long and look at the texture of the water, what you're fishing for. I'm sure there's just, you know, big things that he's found that just barely give themselves up.
Exactly. Even one bird offshore, you know, you just go over there like, whoa, there's a school. You know?
Cool.
So there's something about the human eye on the water versus like a drone somebody watching.
100%. You know, it's just, watching something on the screen, it would be difficult to pick out those little differences that you need to see.
Or the stuff in the distance or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as far as drones locally, I mean, why not? But I've never used them.
I'm sure, you know, you start throwing a few years on things and that technology gets so good and so easy. I'm sure it will be incorporated in some fashion at some point. You know what I mean?
As it gets less, I mean, the military certainly has it.
Right.
So as it gets less expensive.
Sure.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, who knows?
What the future holds. For sure. I have a great text here, and it's from Rob in Seal Beach. It says, good morning, everyone. I have a question from Captain Barnhill. When you decide to harvest fish, do you clean right on the spot, or do you take the whole thing to a processor?
So they do harvest them right there at the farm. So yeah. They have harvest boat come out and they
right at the pen, right?
Right at the pen. Yep. And they, you know, they dry the pen up, get one fish at a time. You know, they spike it, do the thing down the spine, gill and, you know, bleed it out, gill and gut it right there, and then it goes onto ice and totes. And as soon as they have whatever they need, they you know, they take it back in El Salvador, and then they start you know, putting them in shipping containers and stuff like that.
Wow. Yeah. And I actually have seen the processing. And it's pretty amazing. They hand harvest them, right? Because they don't want to stretch them, right?
Right.
So it's like divers go in and just like cowboy them, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I actually haven't seen it in person, but yeah, it's that's what they say. It's pretty cool deal.
I got to see it once also, and it's wild how fast the process happens. Like full assembly line. Like there's a guy, you know, guiding the fish up. Hydraulic line, it's on the boat, and it's just, you know, one guy spikes and slides it down the line, and, you know, the other guy, you know, gills him and guts. It's just like, it was just, you know, it was amazing how fast from that fish being in the water to being done.
Yeah.
It was just precision time. It was wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those guys in the water are good at it.
They are.
They're hunters.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, great show. Just a lot more going on here, and just really a fantastic show here with Captain Aaron.
Yeah, we're super pumped to have him, man. We got a whole lot more. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're also going to check in with Kids Reports, find out what's biting and more. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Rock Todd Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it, fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair up front and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Cotter from Surgeon Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at searchersportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's searchersportfishing.com. Look forward to welcoming you aboard.
The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. Need a thinner leader, more natural presentation. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tinsel strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound tests for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound tests for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
Everything about Katmai Lodge is first rate, and it should be on the bucket list of everyone who enjoys fishing. This is Brandon Bono. My visit to Katmai Lodge is an experience I will never forget. Constructed on the banks of the Alagnac River in Katmai National Park, the lodge is a fishing dream come true. The experience is incomparable. Whether bait casting, spin, or fly fishing, you'll find king, sockeye, chum, coho, and pink salmon, plus trout, grayling, char, and Dolly Varden. Their guides are amazing. Days are exciting and fun with hot lunches and snacks served on the river. The brown bears, bald eagles, beaver, otters, and other wildlife you see is amazing. The lodge staff is great. There's complimentary wine, beer, and appetizers before a fantastic dinner every evening. Take it from me, a trip to Katmai Lodge should be on your list. For information, visit katmai.com or call 1-800-330-0326. Once again, that's Katmai Lodge, KATMAI.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning, talking fun, talking fishing with Captain Aaron. What a good time this has been, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot going on Let's Talk Hookup today, including great calls from Aaron. And in the second hour, of course, which is only going to be on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live, or on our regular stream. We're going to hear from Seth Bone and Kingfish.
Hey, all right.
And then coming back, he's back. Chris Moyer from Smokies is going to be starting our East Cape report, starting back up every Saturday. So things are happening down there. So that'll be in the second hour, 8 to 9 a.m., only, of course, on the Let's Talk Hookup app and YouTube and Facebook Live.
That's it, man.
So you don't want to forget that.
Well, in the meantime, the phones are absolutely packed up. Same with the text. If you want to get through, it's 833-288-0973, or you can send us a text through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Let's jump right back into the phones and talk to Mike. He's calling us from Torrance this morning. Hey, Mike, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. Great show as always. Hi, Aaron. How's everything going? Hey, I just two things. One is I wanted to regale some fantastic times on the Shogun 2015 when Guadalupe opened and had some insane trips down there with Aaron and Russ. So regards to Russ, and those are some good times, Aaron, on the Shogun. here's my question. You know, I've heard a million times the stories from 1986. The guys out of San Pedro caught 800-pound bluefin and wherever that was, SBI. What's the big ones you see? Do you see any giant bluefin? I'm talking 300, 400, 500, 600 pounds. I mean, have you guys ever seen stuff like that?
We've seen some, like, pushing 400 pounds. Yeah, there was one little, like, wolf pack at maybe, like, 50 fish that were big ones. I think what happened back there in the 80s is, like, one school of fish just stayed here once it got the breeding age and didn't go back across. So the bluefin come over here usually is about 8 pounds, and they stay on this side of the Pacific until they get the breeding age, which is, you know, 300-plus pounds. And then they go back across over towards Japan and all that, and that's where they spend the rest of their life breeding. So it must have been that the conditions were just right, warm water, and they just stayed over here. And that's one school just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
So biggest you've seen?
The biggest I've seen, yeah, right around 400.
400.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, high threes, something like that.
Yeah.
And the whole school was fish of that size?
Yeah, that rat pack was. And then we, you know, we have a, like, I think we had like a 350 this year that got caught up in the net. We rolled it on board, you know, so we flayed it up for the galley.
Yeah,
but that was in a, that was just one random fish in a school of like 120 pounders.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So,
yeah. And how often does that happen? Because, I mean, obviously you're trying to keep them alive, but they're in a net. And I mean, obviously you guys are very good at what you do, and I'm sure it's not often, but.
Yeah, we get a few, maybe like a handful of that. They just, you know,
get in the
poorly
net.
Poorly wise, just yeah. Get in the net. And then, you know, we got 22 people on board.
Awesome.
So we eat fish. So, we eat a fish meal every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the crew all, you know, all people from Mexico? Because the only reason I ask is I think albacore fishing, it's not uncommon to have foreign crews. But on the bluefin side, where's your crew?
Yeah, our crew's all from Mexico. I'd say half from Mazatlan area and half from Ensenada area. And then, yeah, all my crew for albacore is it's from Ensenada, and those guys have been doing it since they were teenagers. Yeah, all my crews, they're all in their 50s.
Really?
So, yeah, and they're just solid guys.
Okay.
You know, I have one American crew member, young kid, you know, and that's the thing is, it's just these guys want to do this, you know, basically their whole life. And, you know, getting crew here, it's usually you get a guy for a year or two and he splits and stuff like that. But these guys are just solid, and they love the work, and they're really good at it. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
The fishermen from the day one, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Cool. Well, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to AP, calling us from Santee this morning. What's up, buddy? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me this morning, Mr. Sandin, Mr. Maxa, Mr. Gray. I just want to give you guys a shout-out and thank you for this radio show. I look forward to it every single weekend. This is the first time that I've managed to get on the show, and I just wanted to take a moment. I have two questions, but first I want to address Memorial Day. You know, I think Memorial Day signifies the start of the season. It's a very exciting time for us, all fishermen here. But also take the time to appreciate the people that have essentially paid the ultimate sacrifice to allow us to have those freedoms. And it's a moment to remember those people that have done so. So first of all, I'd like to give a shout out to all the first responders, firefighters, law enforcement, specifically Border Patrol agents, military as well, that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us to be able to enjoy these freedoms that were afforded. Second, for Captain Aaron, I had a question. Regarding the quotas, does it change when it pertains to bluefin versus yellowfin? So, like, when you guys fill your quota for bluefin, is it any different say when the yellowfin come up in our zone, is that a totally different quota? And
yeah.
And okay. the second question is for Mr. Maxa, and it's regarding the recent report that came out regarding white sea bass being the hatchery program being a failure. What's your take on that? And also props out to Fisherman's Landing Tackle. You guys are very knowledgeable and professional, and I always appreciate being able to go in there and ask any question, and you guys are readily available to answer any questions that I may have. So thank you for that.
Well, that's nice, EAP.
And good words there, AP.
Yeah,
Memorial Day, and
great
a happy
take,
Memorial
bro.
Day, and
awesome.
Definitely
thanks for
remember
doing
those that.
That
made the ultimate sacrifice for sure. So what about that?
So the quota is regulated by the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission, and it did jump up this last year considerably, which is
because of the abundance.
Yeah, and so you know, it's a lot. You know, basically the whole Pacific is managed by that. These different countries coming together, and it's, the quotas, you know, allotted by the amount of effort that goes into the fish and all that. So, yeah, once our quota is done, it's done. It has nothing to do with the yellowfin quota. The yellowfin quota is exponentially bigger than the bluefin quota. So it sounds like a lot of fish that we catch, but if you look at it in terms of the yellowfin catch, it's minuscule.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, it's been working. You know, the quota system, yeah. It's been great. You know, back in the early 2000s, you know, there, you know, 16 boats fishing it. You know, a lot of the fish is going to the cannery and stuff like that. So only bluefin can be caught in Mexico that goes to this live pen fishery. So none of it's going to be going to cat food. None of it's going to be, you know, going to anything else. So that's – and it's good. We're that fact that we're concentrating on fish over 100 pounds, yeah, we take a lot less pieces out of the equation. So, you know, if you catch, you know, 100-ton to 20-pound fish, that's a lot of pieces you're taking out of there.
And I'll address the hatchery thing. That's bad information.
Yeah.
You know, the hatchery has been a very successful program. You know, there's a lot of bad information that comes out of Fish and Wildlife in Sacramento. They've been tremendously successful. It's been proven over and over and over again with returns of heads and tags and such like
that. The other thing that was cool is cool genetic science came out, you know, in the last couple of years. And that was the thing, like the only, you know, just like the only mark of success was return of of the tag, you know, they get implanted in the head, and they have found that, you know, not all tags work. I mean, just like you with a splinter in your thumb, sometimes a month later it works itself out. Well, the same thing potentially happens with the tags. What was really cool was that genetic, you know, sampling has gotten so much better that they could start to trace fish that way, and that starts to give you an idea of, well, you know, maybe this fish that you caught didn't have a tag, but it was spawned out by one that did. So one, there's no mark of that. And now that they can start to track genetics, it showed that the success, that the hatchery program was tremendously more successful than originally thought, you know, because it's one thing, it's tag, you know, you can't always recover every tag, and you never know how much a tag fish then re-added to the population. But with genetic sampling, you can, and it has shown that it's a lot more successful than previously thought.
No question about it. And, we don't know what happened. Thanks for the call, by the way, and the nice wishes. We don't have him with Marcos because he must be taking the Memorial Day holiday off.
I hope
but
he is.
But in the meantime, this portion of the show is sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. They have a complete deli, beverages, boating supplies, as well as one of the best saltwater tackle shops around. Also, check out East County Bait and Tackle and Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, the best in both fresh and saltwater tackle, along with live bait. Dana Landing is next to the launch ramp in Mission Bay, ECBT at the end of the 67 Freeway in Lakeside, and Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle on Broadway and Lemon Grove. Check DanaLanding.com, and I'm going to bet you they're pretty busy this morning.
Maybe he's just harboring on to old issues when Captain Aaron ran the Legend back in the day and brought the boat in too late or came in too early. You know, maybe it's just old school, just he can't face it. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And also, we want to remind you, power your boat with Norsk Lithium, the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Norsk delivers unmatched starting, trolling, and electrical power. Norsk batteries are packed with cutting-edge technology. Upgrade your marine power today. Set up your system at norsklithium.com or see the trolling motor doctor for help.
All right. Hey, we had a fun text come through. It's from John in Rancho San Diego. It says, man, what a fun show this is. Captain Aaron, can you please put your old school sport boat hat back on? You are my favorite captain to fish with bluefin. When you pin on a bait and you're fly lining from a bluefin tuna,
Do you feel it's essential to use a circle hook or a J hook, and does fluorocarbon really make a big difference? That's from John in Rancho San Diego.
Fluorocarbon makes a huge difference. I am a firm believer in fluorocarbon. I use it for everything from trout and, you know, surf fishing and bass fishing, everything. I'm definitely.
You use it on the albacore boat?
We do for bait pole fishing.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. So we use like 150 pound, and the guys back in the day used piano wire, but we've kind of switched over using that fluorocarbon.
That fluorocarbon. Abrasion resistance, and they don't see it as well.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And the circle hook versus J hook, I prefer the J hook for smaller fish and a bigger fish circle.
All right, very good. Well,
great catch. When we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, but on the stream and on Facebook and YouTube Live, we're going to say bye to the fans. Looking forward to another great show, but we'll catch you on the app for this next hour. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice, on that Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live.
45 years. That's how long we've been right here at Mission Bay, helping friends and family like you discover the joy of sailing, kayaking, and everything life on the water has to offer. I'm Logan from Bass Lane Kayaks, and if you ask Ron and Debbie Lane whether 45 years feels like a long time, they'll tell you time flies when you're having fun. You see, the Lanes have followed their passion for a life on the water, and they've made a living inviting others along for the ride. Over the years, the shop has grown and changed, and so have the employees and products inside. From selling catamarans in the 1970s as newlyweds, living in a VW bus in the store parking lot, to being the destination Hobie fishing kayak store they are today, working with their two sons and daughter. You might be looking for a new way to enjoy time on the water with your family, or maybe you're looking for a new way to stay active, enjoy nature, explore, and catch a spotted bay bass. Whatever your goals, come visit us in Dana Landing on Mission Bay, and we'll get you geared up and ready to enjoy life on the water.
Do you know why a million customers visited Summit Gasoline last year at the San Diego Sports Arena? Because they give you the lowest price on fuel. Great service and easy access, even for trucks and trailers at their 24 pumps. Summit is known for the best price on ice, too. Almost half the cost of any other vendor. 25 pounds for just $3.99. Martha and her crew love fishermen, and they'll prove it by giving you 100 pounds free with a 35-gallon fill-up. Summit offers over 40 snacks and drinks to choose from for only 89 cents. And even a line of hand creams and lip balms for 89 cents, too. Summit now proudly offers locally made burritos and sandwiches, made fresh daily and ready to go wherever the current takes you. Summit just upgraded their car wash. And for a limited time, get a deluxe car wash for only $6. Grab the wife's car, grab a cheap sandwich, and make up for the day on the water. Summit Gasoline. Lowest prices, friendliest staff, easy access, and free ice. What more can you ask for?
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com. For local or long-range fishing, we have you covered. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Being a part of the San Diego Sport Fishing Landing gives us a distinct advantage when it comes to getting you on the latest and hottest tackle for your trip. Our expert staff knows exactly what you need for your long-range or local trip, and we will not sell you something you don't need. We carry a huge inventory of the right tackle. So visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. All our open party trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.